Well, you know, I usually don't start, I've gotten where I haven't been starting out with prayer, but today I think I need to. So I suppose that, you know, about the time we think we don't need to is when we're really going to be in trouble. So I just want to start out that way and say, Lord, I just pray that, you know, I was so excited to deliver this, and all of a sudden I find myself nervous. I don't know what's going on unless the enemy's just trying to stop this from going out. So we just take a stand against that. And Lord, I just pray for your anointing to come through and your words to be spoken today, because I'm excited to deliver this message. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I am excited. You know, I hadn't actually picked this topic necessarily, but this is the kind of message I wanted to do 2 weeks ago, and the Lord didn't seem to want to let me get off the topic that I had. So since it was going to be a sin not to talk about sin, I went ahead and did it. But I'm excited today because maybe all he was doing was saying, no, there's going to be a better time. There's going to be a better time to do this than the one you had picked out. So here we are, and I am excited because I love to encourage, and I hope that this will encourage you.
Amen.
I called it hoping for the best because, although we sometimes say that with perhaps less than hope, we truly are, as Christians, hoping for the best. Because the best is that in which we put our hope. So, you know, as often happens, when I see a word, I wonder, I've almost sort of gotten into a little series here on Christianese words, wasn't really planned, but here's another one that we use this word a lot. We hope for everything. We hope we get a good dinner tomorrow tonight. We use the word very casual, and that's not necessarily wrong. There are lots of words in the English language that are like that. I don't like to use love like that, but there are words that mean different things in different situations, and that's okay. But I'd like to get a little bit deeper than that as we talk about hope. And it's not something that we can't understand. We do have a concept in our modern vernacular of those things that are deeper than just things we wish for, those things that drive us, those things that are deep in our heart. Where should those things come from? In the Old Testament, when you see the word hope, it actually can be translated from a whole bunch of different Hebrew words that mean things like trust, safety, security, shelter, also expectation. And it's that last one that I want to focus on. Modern translations will tend to use expectation in those places, but not necessarily. The interesting thing I found about that is that the word that does get translated expectation is from a root that means waiting. And what is it about hope? You don't see it, right? You don't see it. You're waiting for it. It hasn't come yet. So it makes sense that that would be the root for that word. In the New Testament, it's a bit more consistent. And it's something that means an expectation of something good. I would even say a joyous expectation of something good. I like the way that Nelson's put it. A confident expectation.
Amen.
It's also the act of having hope, or the condition of having hope. It is for something that's unseen. Romans 8, chapter 8, 24 and 25 says, "For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he has already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. We're going to see that word perseverance a lot. Why is it important? Why do we need it? Why is hope listed right up there with faith and love when Paul talks about it in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13?
It's a faith and love.
Why is it that we need it?
All
you have to do is look around the world and see what happens when you don't have it. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. The desire fulfilled is a tree of life. The book of Ephesians, and I'm probably not going to reference everything today, but I've got them all if you're curious. It also says in Ephesians chapter 2 that people without God have no hope. And you can see it in our society. Look around you. We have had a very unfortunate development, and they're really not new things. Solomon said there's nothing new, and yeah, there are new ways to put old things together, but there really is nothing new under the sun. People have always been who they are, have always done what they do. And the idea that there is no God is not necessarily a new idea, but it's certainly one that has become prevalent in our society. And what does it lead to? It leads to a life without purpose. It leads to nihilism. It leads to these terrible things that you see now with kids that are abusing themselves and cutting themselves because they don't have anything to look for. We were made to have purpose. We were made to be God's children. We were made to do the things that He does. We were meant to have His purposes. And when we don't have that, there's nothing.
Right.
Even Christians get into depression. I can speak from personal experience on that. But what is depression but a lack of hope? You get to a point in your life and you look around and you just don't see any way out. I thank God for the hope that He did place in my life, because without it, I don't know that I would be here. There's also false hope. And, you know, we're all familiar, in fact, one of the accusations as this treatment that Linda's looking into for MS, one of the accusations is, well, you're giving people false hope. It's not real. It's not going to work. And thinking that something is going to work, thinking that you're going to have something that's going to change your life, and having that dash and crash to the ground is almost worse than never having it at all. By the way, I don't believe that's a false hope. I believe it's going to happen. But I want to extend that concept to anything that does not have as its basis the promises of God and the person of God. Any hope that we think is going to satisfy us, that's going to fulfill us, that's going to give us what we want out of life, that is not based in God and His Word, is a false hope. And it will eventually lead to the same thing. But the difference when we have hope is that we're able to endure the hardship that life throws at us. You know, the book of Job is a hard read. But one of the things that stands out, although he rants and raves against God and he says, you know, why did you, you know, you've told you've left me. Even though I've done well, he's really having a hard time with it. But one of the things he will not do, he says, though he slay me, I will trust him. My version says, I will hope in him. But I think that's one of the places where trust would be better. Better way to say that. But he did not lose. And in the end, God restored him because he would not waver. It is that kind of hope that gives us the ability to stand through the hardships and the trials and the troubles that life puts in our path. it gives us the facility, it gives us the ability to rejoice even during those times. And not many of us are particularly good at that. I know I'm not. But we see people, and why do they stand out? The people who have managed to do that despite their circumstances stand out because it is so different than the way that we would react or the way that we think one should react to hardship. It offers us hope, offers us comfort in the face of things that otherwise would be very difficult to bear. Not that they're not still difficult, but we can rest in the comfort. You know, because of what's happened this week, I specifically want to read something out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13. It says, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Christ in Jesus."
Amen.
It's promised to us right there. And I love that, as you know, the expression falling asleep is used in the Old Testament to indicate the physical death of the body. But I love the term that's used, falling asleep, because even when Jesus used it back in the Gospels, when he was going back to deal with the situation with Lazarus, and he said, "Well, he's fallen asleep," and they said, "Well, he's going to wake up if he's fallen asleep."
Right.
Well, you know, they missed the point that he had died, but they were right. He was going to wake up. And everyone that we've missed today, and we've all got those people in our lives that we know went to be with Jesus, they're going to wake up. And we're going to get to see him. So, what is its object? Well, Psalms 139:7 says, "My hope is in you," talking about the Lord, talking about the one true God, Yahweh. Romans 15:13 calls the Lord the God of hope, which I think is just a wonderful way to refer to him, especially in that time and culture, when there was a God of everything. Well, of course, the Lord is the true God of everything. But Paul specifically calls him here the God of hope. We have hope because he has called us. We have hope for purpose in our lives because of that calling. We have hope because of the grace that he gives us. I don't know about you, but I know how much I need that grace. And I find out more and more the longer I live, how much I need that grace. And the only thing sometimes when I look and I see that I've messed up, the only thing that holds me, gives me peace and allows me to go forward is I know that he's merciful and gracious and he's shown me time and time again. We have our hope in his word. Romans 15:4 says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance," there's that word again, "and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope."
Amen.
And it's interesting, you know, again, what he's writing in this letter is the scripture yet. That's a statement about the Old Testament. Read your Old Testament. I know parts of it are difficult, but it all goes together. We have hope because of the good news of the gospel, of salvation, Therein lies the source of real hope. We look forward to eternal life with Him. Galatians 5:5 says that we have hope in righteousness. Righteousness is right standing with God. Romans 5:2 that we're going to read in a minute says that we have hope in the glory of God. Now, what does that mean? There's a whole other study that I'd like to do sometime and share with you about the glory of God. Because when we hear the glory of God, we think, okay, the Lord wants to glorify Himself. Isn't that a bit narcissistic or something? What's going on with this that the Lord always wants to glorify Himself? But when you look and study and see what it means that the Lord wants to glorify Himself, you see that that glory is in our salvation. That glory is in our testament to who He is, which is written on our hearts in love. It's a truly good thing to glorify the Lord.
Amen.
And we have hope in His glory because His glory is in us. We have hope in the resurrection. We've already talked about that. So how can we get there? How can we have hope? We all want it. We all need it. How can we have it? Well, the only outline, if you will, or instruction to that effect is an interesting passage, and it's not the way that I would think if you were going to instruct somebody on how to come to a place of hope in their lives. This is not the formula I would pick. It's in Romans chapter 5. I think I wrote on the website 1 through 6, but we're just going through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope for the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings about perseverance. And perseverance, proven character. And proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within us, within our hearts, through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
Amen.
So you see it all here. You see it sort of laid out, this progression. Not that we can't have hope until we get these things, but these things all build up to bolster or build hope in your life. Faith. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith, in this translation reads, is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The reason why we can have hope, the reason why we can have hope is because of our faith. We know it. We can't see it, but we know it. And it holds us up because we know it's true. Everything that we've studied, everything that we know about the Holy Spirit, about the Lord. Tribulation. This is not the way I would pick to build hope. In fact, I would think tribulation would step all over your hope, wouldn't it? Well, no. Think about it. Turn it around and think about it this way. If you're never challenged, When you're exercising, if you never challenge yourself, you know, like I can talk about exercising. If you never challenge yourself, you never get stronger, right?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it almost seems to be a law of the universe that whatever it is you're trying to build, if you do not provide some kind of resistance, that thing never becomes strong. And so, yes, tribulation is part of the foundation that helps you to build hope, because in that testing, God gets to prove himself and prove that what he showed you is true. And I've seen it over and over again in my own life, to the point that I am finally able, after years of struggle, to at least begin to say on a good day, Lord, thank you for everything that has brought me to where I am today. I never thought I could hear myself say thank you that you used, well, I can't say it this way, thank you that you used even my blindness to bring me to the place that you want me to be.
Amen.
That I can say.
Amen.
We've read this passage before, but I want to read it again because it goes with the theme. 1 Peter 4:12 and 13. It says, Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, as which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share in the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. You know, these scriptures keep popping up. And I think the reason why these scriptures keep popping up is that the Lord is preparing us. He's been preparing us all along for the difficulties that we face. The next step in that progression, perseverance, when you're dealing with tribulation, you need to hold on. You need to hang on. Another passage that we read over and over again, we're going to do it again today, is in James chapter 1. We'll start in verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing.
Amen.
Including hope. Proven character. These things that happen in our lives force us to address the world as it is and not as we wish it were. It forces us to confront our understanding of God, our understanding of faith, and to see what it really is. And when we see what it really is, we actually do build up our hope. Because we see over and over again, his word is proved out. John puts it this way in 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. Everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. It's a process. And in the end, we have a firm faith, a solid hope that cannot be shaken in our Lord. And what do we do with it? What do we say over and over again? First concept, when I studied, I went through a study of the entire Bible, and the very first concept we encountered, well, I shouldn't say the first, but the first one that really stuck with me was the idea in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, I think we've been over it here, that the reason why Abraham was blessed was that so he could be a blessing. The reason why we have what we have is so we can give it away. And you know, the Lord is so neat. You know that the things he gives you are the only things that you can give away and end up with more than you started with? Mm-hmm. Jesus illustrated that when he did the five loaves and the two fish, you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Passed out, gave it away to 5,000 people, and ended up with, well, nearly seven times. Or was it 12 in that situation? I think it was 12 in that situation. Several times what they started with. Give it away, you end up with more than you had to start with. We'll leave you with one more verse in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. That sanctified Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. I hope. There I go. I knew I could get through the whole sermon without doing it. But I truly do hope that in hearing this today, you're encouraged that there is something greater, that the Lord really does have a plan for your life, that everything that happens to you should actually build your confidence and build your faith, no matter how bad it seems at the time. And when you come out on the other side of that, turn around and give it to somebody else who's going through the same thing that you've been through. Give out of what you've been given. And I want to say one more thing, just because I can never close out without saying that. If even though you've been in church all this time, you have not ever come to that place where you've made Jesus your Lord, you truly have no hope.
Right.
And there's not a thing I can say or do that's going to give you that hope until you make that decision.
Right.
Okay. And with that, I'm gonna end it up in a prayer, and then I guess we'll have a brief invitation if anybody wants to come up for any kind of prayer that they might need, and close it out.
Amen.
Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity to speak today, to encourage, to share a message of hope from you and in you and through you. And I just pray that our hearts are opened, not only to receive it and to be encouraged by it, but to take it to everyone around us who needs it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.